Well, good afternoon to all of you, and a happy Sabbath day to you. It's not some of our good San Diego weather back there. It's comfortable. I have a question to ask you to begin with. How do you respond when somebody asks you a question about your beliefs? Do you give them the shortest answer possible? Or do you evade the question? Or perhaps you're one that gives someone a two-hour sermon on the truth. Well, I suppose people approach it a different way. What I would like to do today is to cover just two simple scriptures that talk about how we are to respond. So to begin, I didn't write my title down, but my title would be Giving an Answer. Giving an Answer. So if you'd like to turn to 1 Peter 3, and this is the first scripture that I want to cover, because this scripture talks specifically about how we should respond when we're asked a question. The Old King James says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Now, I know this is not a new scripture. You've probably read it many times. It might be one of your memory scriptures. The New King James is virtually the same, except it says, rather than give an answer, it says to give a defense. Well, actually, the defense is much, much better English word for that Greek word there. In my opinion, the ESV has the best translation of all. And I checked at least 10 or 12 translations. It says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy." And you notice they've not used the word sanctify, because sanctify is a little bit of a problematic word there, because who does the sanctification of anything? It's not us. It's not any of us. It's God that sanctifies things. So they've changed the wording just a little and used a better word, the word honor, because sanctification does mean setting aside something for honor. It does mean that. Anyway, reading on in the ESV, it says, "Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you, and yet do it with gentleness and respect." I also like that, using the word respect. The King James says fear, and of course there's nothing particularly wrong with that if you understand it's godly fear, not the normal kind of fear that people have. Anyway, I like that ESV version very much. So there's a couple of things we can learn here. And that is, when we explain God's plan to someone, we are citing very precious words, meaningful words, words of life. So we need to be careful how we state those words. We need to make sure they're accurate and they reflect God's plan. Another thing that's embedded here in that verse is the first phrase teaches us that our words must be from the heart. You don't want to just recite scripture, but what you say should be from the heart. And I'll show you a little later the second scripture that we're going to analyze. It says that much. It must be from the heart, because we have to truly believe ourselves what we're telling people. You know, we don't need to, it doesn't carry much weight when you say the church teaches this. Well, they didn't ask the church, they asked you. The other word that's been changed here is the word answer, and it's been changed to defense. Now, why did the newer translations use the word defense? Well, the answer is simple. It's a better word in English to define the Greek word. The Greek word there is I always mispronounce this word, apologio, or apologia. Apologia is better pronounced. Apologia. And it probably sounds very much like apology. And so it sounds like, should you give an apology for what you believe? No, it's not talking about that at all. What happened here is the word apologia in Greek has evolved. In the first century, it didn't mean a regret for something, you know, an apology. It didn't mean that at all. It meant a legal defense to a situation. The number one meaning from Webster is a formal, spoken, or written defense. The number two meaning later on, this happened not in the first century, but later on, the number two meaning means expressing a regret. That's the word apology we have. And actually, even today, the word apology refers to a very laid out defense of something. We have a discipline called Christian apologetics, and some of these Christian fellows like to debate atheists, and they use Christian apologetics to do that. I don't know why they like to debate those guys. I really don't know why. But anyway, they do. And if you were to read some first century Greek literature, you'd find that the word apologia does mean a defense rather than just a simple answer. This is proved by 2 Timothy 4:16. You don't need to turn there. But in that scripture, Paul says, in my first defense, and then he goes on to say what he did. It's the word apologia, and it means a legal defense. He was talking about his first trial. He says, in my first defense, at my first trial, he indicates, that's what he did. So the Bible proves that at that time, apologia meant more of a legal defense rather than an apology or just a simple answer. Then if we continue in 1 Peter, where we're at, 3:15. It says, answer to everyone who asks you. You're not supposed to ignore them or just to make an excuse not to say something. It says to everyone who asks you. One of the key words here in this verse is the word asked. The word used in the Greek means earnestly desired. Earnestly desired. That shows you that if someone is just making conversation, you don't have to go into a sermonette or a sermon, you know. If they're making conversation, then you can tell it, and you respond accordingly. So that means that we have to discern just how and what the questioner is asking. We need to determine if it's a sincere question, asked with a real desire. And you can tell that in the way people approach you. Do they truly want to know, or are they just passing the time of day and being friendly? And of course, it does not mean that we need to give them every last detail of God's truth. If they want that, then of course there's a follow-up that we can do. Now let's turn to Colossians 4, and I'm just going to cover a couple of scriptures here because the way it's written here, it gives us another issue or another insight into the word respond. I'm going to read this also from the NAS, verse 5 and 6 of Colossians 4. It says, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. I think the King James says, redeeming the time. Making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may know how to respond to every person. Now the Greek word here, respond, is a different word than we read back in 1 Peter. This word actually means a personal response. It doesn't mean a well thought out defense. It means a personal response. And that's exactly what the person is asking you. What is the hope that is within you? What makes you do the things you do? So this particular verse is saying you need to give them your personal opinion, the right opinion, of course, based on God's word. But it has to be from you. And as the other scripture says, from the heart. So what I've done to bring this to a close is I've made 4 points, which I call sort of guidelines to give an answer. And you think I could speak for 15 minutes without drinking water? Number one. It says to be prepared and ready. We must know what we believe. And of course, how do you do that? Well, you do that by studying God's word, to listen to God's word being expounded on the Sabbath. And we have dozens and dozens and dozens of booklets that cover every doctrine we teach. And the booklets are good. I'm really impressed with UCG and the booklets that we have. Some of them are very, very good. Most of them are all good. Number two, determine very soon the level of interest of the questioner. Are they just being friendly? Are they just making conversation or what? And, you know, you don't have to be a genius to determine that. I mean, everybody can determine that pretty much from the way people ask. Are they really interested? My third point or guideline is take ownership of the answer. And what do I mean by that? I mean, you have to give them an answer from your heart. An answer from your very being, an answer that you believe in, an answer that you've proved. Take ownership of the answer. You don't just say, well, the church believes this, that, and the other thing. It's much better to say, we believe, and then because the Bible says this, and because the first century church did that, that's what we believe. You know, don't just say, the church believes. Again, the question is just, what is the hope that's within you? And the fourth one is, be friendly, kind in your answer. The verse says, with meekness and reverence, that it was the ESV that said reverence. I also kind of like that word better than fear, although godly fear is certainly reflective of what's being said. But, you know, you need to treat God's word with reverence as well. You treat God with reverence and God's word with reverence. And of course, we want to be sure that what we say is backed up by God's word. And of course, if a person is really interested, and you can perceive that, then there's all kinds of follow-ups you can do. You can refer to them to booklets, and if they're really, really interested, refer them to Mr. Weber, and that would be a good thing. So now you should know more fully how to be ready to answer any question.